This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
And welcome back to Newsmakers, folks. It's Thursday. It's the beginning of the show. Hey, thanks for joining us. Thanks for joining us with your noon hour. Appreciate you following us right after Rush Limbaugh. And before we have, what's that guy's name? Bill O'Reilly?
Bill O'Reilly.
And KYK. It's just been a couple of weeks, but I've already really gotten used to hearing him right at the top of the hour after our show and his commentary. So good stuff. Hey, welcome everyone. I'm Brent DeHart. I'm here with Dave Bourne.
Yes.
And we talk about local issues, the local people and such as that. And this is the place to be for local Mid-Willamette Valley talk. On Tuesday, I hinted at something I wanted to talk about a little bit. And then this morning, I attended the public policy meeting at the Salem Area Chamber of Commerce.
Did you want to gouge your eyes out?
No, it was really interesting.
Okay.
Thoughtful, intelligent people in the room.
People
are heavily invested in Salem, emotionally, financially, and so forth. And it was a presentation by the staff on our Salem. We've been talking about this with the mayor, of course.
Sure.
And the mayor's concern is, you know, the people who are showing up have people who have, this is my description, not his, too much time on their hands, right?
Right.
Or they are single issue people who are trying to drive this agenda. And that is a very, very big concern, folks, when the rest of us are raising our kids and going to work and busy coaching and all these other things, that we don't show up and how we feel about our community is not heard. So, our Salem, the comprehensive plan, and this was actually one of my questions this morning. Like, where's the bullet list to explain to a general public, someone who's never talked to anybody from the city, has no knowledge of planning, what is a comprehensive plan? What are you including in that? And what are you not including in that? So somebody comes up and they raise their hand and says, hey, I want more funding for police officers. That's not comprehensive plan.
Nope, that's not in there.
No. It has to do with, but it does include a lot, and it has to do with land use, of course. What are we going to build? Where are we going to build it? And what are the rules around that? What are the plans for the community? That would include a very, very big document called the Transportation System Plan.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So the transportation plan's in there. The parks plan is in there. The water plan. The stormwater plan. The wastewater plan.
Kind of important.
All of these things that a city does, they all get rolled into this umbrella policy document called the comprehensive plan. I'm like, where are the bullet points? It says, hey, we're talking comprehensive plan. These are things. Transportation, water, sewer, stormwater, parks, and so on and so forth. It may not be library hours.
No.
Right? So that concerns me a little bit when they're doing the outreach, because they use words like comprehensive plan. And most people don't know what that is, right? So
we want
your input on the comprehensive plan. So, and of course, they're planners. They went to college for this, and this is their career. And for them, it's everyday stuff. So that's a little concern. And you know how I am about acronyms and using terms in a setting.
Yes, explain yourself. Acronyms.
All right. So they got an earful this morning, and this is our concern. They've been at this about a year. They're utilizing consultants from Portland.
Oh, boy.
And they're getting community input. And there's a community survey, and they ask everybody to fill out. All right. So two huge things came out. One, they've got a report card, and that's online, cityofsalem.net. You can just Google our Salem and know it's going to pop up and look for the community report card. And that has 20 different measurements, 20 different key points that they're saying how we're doing. We're doing great at this. You know, our average wages are pretty good. Our affordability is pretty good. We're doing terrible on tree canopy, supposedly.
What?
Right. So of these 20, and this, I mean, you should have heard it. It was like popcorn with people's brain cells exploding this morning at this meeting.
Oh, wow.
They were looking at the staff and saying, why doesn't your report card say anything about transportation?
Right.
I mean, Safe. It says safe, reliable, efficient infrastructure. Let me read you, Dave Boren, what's under safe, reliable, efficient infrastructure, because I think, you know, water infrastructure, roads, maybe a bridge. Three things. Walk and transit friendly, access to transit, bicycle and pedestrian use. That's it.
My head just exploded.
That's it. That's their three things that's on this report card for infrastructure.
What happened to roads?
How about redundancy of clean water supply? Right?
Right.
What about consistent clean water supply? I mean, I'm a little bit more knowledgeable about some of these. I throw in perfecting our water rights in the Willamette.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a technical term I'm not going to explain to you right now. But we do have wells as a backup system. We've got the North Sandy and so forth. But where is the water? Where is keeping up with capacity for stormwater treatment?
Mm-hmm.
Where is, of course, the obvious, where's the third bridge? Where
how about, how about the fourth and fifth bridge? Because this is supposed to cover 40 years out, right?
Yeah, maybe.
They'd be up to bridge six by now.
So TJ Sullivan of Huggins Insurance says, and TJ, by the way, at the end of the month, he's going to be a guest hosting Newsmakers
for
a couple
forward to
of
that.
Days.
Yeah.
But he raises his hand and says, where is the movement of goods and services? Where is our ability to move people, goods, and services on this report card? How is it not on the report card? And basically, the message it was given is, who put this together?
Right.
What was their agenda?
Yeah.
Right. So, and the mayor was there. Actually, the mayor showed up at the Salem Area Chamber and said, well, just look at the five things that are in red that says we're not doing well. That these items we're not doing well on. Walk and transit friendliness, bicycle and pedestrian use. So they want you on your bike.
Uh-huh.
Right? They want you on bike or a bus, but they don't want you in your car. Tree canopy, greenhouse gas emissions, air pollution from travel. So the people who are showing up in these report cards are like, oh, man, we're not doing well at getting people out of their cars. People, that is their agenda. We've got six city councilors that's their agenda. We got to fix this. Greenhouse gas, air pollution from travel, tree canopy, walking in transit, and pedestrian use.
How do they get around? Because I know they're not biking.
Of the people that went to the community meetings, I actually said that, not exactly under my breath. I'm like, oh, how did they get to the meeting?
Uh-huh. Good for you.
Got a few chuckles.
You should have said that much louder.
Got a few. People, this is frightening. No water, no sewer, no treatment, no transportation, right?
Wow.
No bridge. And it's...
Bridges.
How do you... And they got chastised a bit. And
I hope
said,
so.
Well, you know, it's kind of driven by, you know, things we have measurables for. And these are 20 indicators out of a list of 80. But we went out and talked to stakeholders, another undefinable term. And these were the 20 we decided to put on the report card. But we could have picked any number of, you know, 60 others kind of thing. And they're like, well, we're the ones that have to do with the things. You know, they mentioned there's a possibility like public health. I'm like, how is public health a comprehensive plan item? Well, it can be. And we're like, yeah, but we don't want that to be. I was like,
what?
That is public policy discussion. It's not a comprehensive plan thing.
No,
right?
It's not.
This should be more about, and they do. They have housing affordability, proximity to parks.
There's always that thing of housing affordability in there.
Yeah. And all right, so when we come back from the break, I'm going to find and we'll talk about some of the things that are on the survey and what's not on the survey and how they dare continue to circulate it. And the survey is only open for like one more week. So listeners, you can go online and fill it out as a rational person.
Uh-huh.
And then unfortunately, you're going to have to plug in your own answer because it's not there. This is Brent DeHart, the stutterer, here with Dave Born, and you're listening to Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Color Tile of Salem.
Welcome back to Newsmakers, folks. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne. We are talking about our Salem and the Salem Area Chamber of Commerce this morning. Had a meeting with some city planners, came and made a presentation on this. And folks, it's frightening. We talked before the break about planning key indicators mm-hmm. and what's not there, right? And what people think we're not doing well at. I've lived in three different places in Salem. And maybe I'm lucky, maybe I'm smart, but I always had a park within a half a mile. And that's kind of the standard.
Nice.
That you can walk to a park.
Right.
I had a sidewalk and you walk a park and things like that. So when it says what's important, well, that's not important to me because you guys already provide it. You know what I mean?
It's like park's already
so
there.
Some of those questions are kind of incomplete because it's not like it's not important. It is important, but it's the standard already to have a park within a half a mile, especially in a residential, single family residence or any residential area. The standard is you have a park within a half a mile. Right. So that's about a 10-minute walk for even a slow person.
I guess that is true.
Yeah, about a 10-minute walk to a park. And
okay.
I had a sidewalk, and we could bike. And so some of these things, it's like, oh, are we really failing to have bike and pedestrian use? I've never thought so.
No, never.
I've never thought so in Salem.
That's never crossed my mind.
Now, are there occasionally, oh, wish I had a bike lane here? Yeah, but to give us, you know, oh, we're really failing in this
regard.
There's
a lot of bike lanes. What are you talking about?
Yeah, and
there are.
Yeah. All right. So what they've been doing now in stage two, that was stage one, where they developed these key indicators and they provided some information from the consultants out of Portland.
Is it too late to change?
The
comprehensive plan?
Oh, not the comprehensive plan. No, the comprehensive plan process is going to take quite some time.
Oh, good.
Take about another year and so forth. But
because it's the government.
My concern and my comment had to do with, because, folks, I was on city council, and this is how it works. You get a report on something. It's a land use action.
Okay.
Say it's a transportation action, even worse, right? Say it's park creation. In the listing and in the report from the government staff, it'll say, it'll list as a basis for their recommendation, the comprehensive plan's priorities and goals are blah, blah, blah. And
okay.
So they need to recommend, they're required to recommend something. That's their guiding document. Well, what if their guiding document is everyone out of their cars by 2035 or we're all going to die? What if that's the guiding document? Staff is going to be recommending these things for decades.
That's scary.
It is very scary, folks. That's who's showing up. That's who's taking the survey. Tree canopy, greenhouse gas emissions, air pollution from travel. You know what pollutes the air? Cars, idling, and gridlock, people.
Right.
Cars idling in gridlock. And I think, I hate to speak for them because my brain doesn't work that way, but I think they think, well, with all the cars we have right now, they're in gridlock. We'll prevent any more cars being in gridlock because we'll make everyone miserable, and then they're all going to bike.
That's just what the caller was talking about just a second ago. I was just on the phone. He said they're all living in a pseudo-environment where it's like this already exists, so they're passing legislation that supports it.
Yeah.
Without it's like a pseudo environment that's not reality where we all live.
So online you can get this survey.
Gosh.
cityofsalem.net. Look for slash. Well, it's cityofsalem.net.
Yeah.
It's a backslash our our dash Salem. Okay, the survey. This is what had people up in arms.
Okay.
I wish Salem had. And then there's, you know, your check mark. This is the survey, but they are selecting what you're selecting. There's seven things under I wish Salem had. Seven.
Only seven.
Yeah, and the answer and the question was who selected the seven?
Yeah.
Don't tell us that that's not an agenda-driven thing.
Totally.
Because the seven did not include clean drinking water. It did not include adequate wastewater treatment. It certainly didn't include anything having to do with transportation. I wish Salem had, didn't say Third Bridge, another route across the Willamette.
How about three more?
Yeah. So I'll tell you what they are. More jobs across the city. Okay. Economic development.
Well,
I like that.
That's a good one. Okay.
I wish they had. More variety in housing sizes and types. That one's kind of squishy because you need to explain that. In Salem.
Don't we already have that?
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. You have a single family house, you have duplex, you have triplex, you have fourplex, you have big apartment buildings.
Right.
You have accessory dwelling units.
And small apartments, too.
ADUs and so forth in this house. So more. What else is left that's not in our mix?
Mini homes.
Yeah. Do we have mini
micro
homes? No, micro apartments are coming to South Hill.
Yeah, right.
All right, moving on. More options and housing costs.
What?
Okay. A better protected environment.
More. Wait. Go back. What is that?
More. A better protected environment.
A better protected environment.
Yep.
Don't we already do that?
Trees, streams, clean air. I wish Salem had. And they try.
I think we already have that.
I'm so precise with language that uh-huh. things really bother me because the question was asked. I'm really happy with my neighborhood.
Right.
So these questions about I wish my neighborhood had, because, oh, well, you can just say that you appreciate what you have. Or you can. No, it says that you wish you had it, and it applies that you don't. It's like, I wish I had, there were trails. Well, last place I lived in Salem had trails.
Yeah.
Last two places I live in Salem, there were trails. So am I supposed to check, if I check trails, like I'm happy with it? That's going to get interpreted as, boy, I wish there were more trails.
Right.
Right.
Wording.
So wording, exactly. All right. A better protected environment, meaning trees and streams and clean air. Frankly, I think we all want that.
Mm-hmm.
We all want that. But do I check that because I don't think Salem's doing a good job? I think they continue to try and improve in this, but whatever. All right. Moving on. I wish Salem had more ways to get around without a car.
What? That's the wording on there?
Mm-hmm. More parks and trails and more shopping, business, and entertainment centers. So somebody selected that we're going to have a check mark of ways to get around without a car. Nobody selected. The answer was an easier way to get around with my car. That's not on there. Nobody. There's no box there that says another route across the river. There's no box that says a way to avoid gridlock. There's no box that says being able to leave work and not be in horrible traffic and still make my kids game. You know, it's like
50,000 heads just exploded that were sitting in traffic this morning by you saying that.
I wish Salem had. And that was the point. They kept driving it. They tried to drive it home, and they said, well, you know, this is just part of this, and this is not going to be driving everything. And of course, transportation is included. And of course, water is included. And we're like,
is?
No, not of course. Not of course. If you're acknowledging the transportation system plan is probably the thickest document in the comprehensive plan, if you're acknowledging that, then you cannot circulate this piece of paper. You should not be circulating this. So, folks, if you want to get online, and I beg you to in the next few days, and you get to this, I wish Salem had, there's a box for other. So check the box for other and put third bridge. Check box for other and put adequate transportation infrastructure. Check other.
Adequate. How about exceptional?
Yeah, exceptional.
Give me an exceptional transportation package.
Ability to get to work, ability to move goods and services.
Without stop and go traffic for 20 minutes. You know, I've been doing traffic for the last, several days, filling in for Warren in the morning.
Nice of you.
And the red lines of stop and go traffic in this town is ridiculous.
Mm. Yeah.
One accident will mess you up for 20 to 30 minutes on one road.
I was on Marion Street recently, and it's after work time,
mm-hmm.
and it's backed up to 12th Street, and it's 2019, folks. And so the six city councilors that say, no, we don't need the bridge, we need to stop the bridge. I'm like, what do you think traffic is going to be backed up to in 15 or 20 years
if it's backed up
to 12th Street?
If it's already 12 blocks back, it's going to be 20.
It's unbelievable. And then one day there was an accident or I don't even know what it was, a stall, something. And it was backed up down 12th Street to the flyover from Mission Street. Folks, you know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
There's a flyover from Mission Street, and it's backed up. I experienced this just the other day. It's backed up on the flyover to try to get down onto 12th Street so you can get towards downtown to get over the bridge. That's how far it's backed up, and it's 2019, and they don't want to build a bridge in their generation.
That is just insane.
All right. So our Salem folks, you get an idea who's showing up? Their number one priorities, their places where we're really failing, tree canopy. That set people off as well. They're like, we have a great tree canopy. We have a growing tree canopy. How are you marking us as failing at this?
Right.
It's like they really think that everybody hates trees or people who are right of center hates trees. Nobody hates trees.
Have they seen the Capitol area? Yeah. It's got a great tree canopy.
Oh my gosh. And the whole,
the whole town has great tree canopy. What are they talking about?
No, and you look at the combined Bush Park, Wallace Marine Park,
yeah,
Minto Brown Park, and so forth. Maybe we should do a grove of trees in the middle of Riverview Park, Riverfront Park, right?
Yeah, right, sure.
Mm-hmm. All right, folks, our Salem. Thank you to the Salem Area Chamber of Commerce to being the convener of a conversation, and thank you to the staff for showing up. And, you know, they're planners, and they deal with data, and they deal with input, and they deal with, we need to do outreach and so forth. But, and they acknowledge that not everybody who shows up is representative of the whole.
Right.
Right? But and we asked, who selected these boxes to check? The consultant. Out of Portland.
Uh-huh.
My first thought was, well, those people need fired.
Right.
I mean, that consultant out of Portland, suddenly I'm terrified for Salem. Terrified that there's a Portland consultant who wants us to be mini Portland, right?
Yeah.
So let's have a box for more ways to get around without a car. We all have ways to get around with a car. I mean, how many more ways? We have our feet. We have a bike if we want to go buy one. We have a public transportation system. How many more ways are there? I mean, I suppose you can go to a kayak on the Willamette. That's available to us as well.
Yeah.
What do you mean more ways to get around without a car?
But yeah, what does that mean?
What that means is, we don't want you to prioritize any ways to get around with a car. That's what that means.
How about let's not put light rail in downtown?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's never going to happen. Although.
Well, that's implying it.
Yeah, oh, more ways.
We don't have light rail. They're implying that light rail should be in Salem.
We don't have a horse-drawn buggy as well.
Oh, but let's go backwards.
So
1900s.
Our Salem folks, get online, cityofsalem.net, or search for Our Salem. See if you can find this this survey.
Right.
And then answer it. Say, what do you want? And there's also a section for my neighborhood. We've got to take a quick break. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Morin. You're listening to Newsmakers here on 1430 KYKN Salem. I really, really hope you're listening.
Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by our friends at Sylvan Learning Center.
Thanks for joining us, folks, and welcome back to Newsmakers. We're talking about Our Salem, and I want to clear this up. But they started this process about a year ago. They started talking about it 2 or 3 years ago. It got funded. It got approved by city council and so forth. It's a big, big undertaking. So the mayor tells you we haven't looked at this in 25, 40 years.
Well, that's because the other comprehensive plan was slated for that, right? For 40 years?
1974. Was
to cover 40 years.
Where it was established. And it's not really designated how long it's going to care. But they have done updates. So, you know, some misinformation or people exaggerating, but it was adopted in, it was presented and adopted in 1973-74. There have been a few modifications, a piecemeal modifications. The last substantive one was in the early 90s.
Okay.
So, and this conversation has happened before, but now they're talking about the entire comprehensive plan and going the whole shebang. So a year ago, they started with the consultants, some community input, and they would go and try to get input. And that's how they created this report card.
Okay.
Some of the things are data driven. So for instance, it'll say bicycle and pedestrian use is red in this report card. And it means we're not meeting targets we set for our city. Well, guess who set the targets for riding a bike? Bike activists.
Mm-hmm.
Climate change activists. You know, they set the targets that more of us bike to work. They may set a target that 1 out of 3 of us bike to work instead of our cars. Whatever. It's bogus, people.
We live in Oregon.
Yeah.
And it rains a lot.
Well, that's
not going to ride my bike all the time.
The thing they're measuring it on is somebody's desire for us to be in a bike. Right? It's somebody has set a goal that more people bike. And so the fact that we as a populace are not biking more, is that really the city of Salem's fault? Is it even their goal?
No.
I mean, you're a municipal government, not a social engineering agency.
Not their job.
Social engineering. I mean, I like to bike, you know, and I've biked to work. And
occasionally.
occasionally when the weather's nice. But
yeah. I like my nice warm car on the way when it's freezing outside.
So you understand. So they created in the phase one, they created this key planning indicators, and there's nothing we can do about that now, really, although it does lack huge, huge components of what a comprehensive plan has. Then they did this outreach for the surveys, and they said, well, we're going everywhere we can in community groups, and we're going to the farmers market, and we say, hey, you want to talk about the planning in Salem in the future? And this is where I get to, you're talking to people who may or may not have ever heard of a comprehensive plan.
Right? Yeah. It's just like, it's crazy.
And you can't, in a 30-second drive-by, really explain it to people.
No.
So,
again, where can they find this? Because I want to take the survey, too, so awesome. I can change it.
cityofsalem.net, and you can search for Our Salem. I think there's actually a cityofsalem.net /our-Salem, but Google search will find it for you. So, lastly, and this is my comment, that when I was explaining that staff in 2035, I mean staff forevermore until we change it, they're going to have to cite in their staff reports, and the policymakers, meaning the city councilors, will have to be driven by, they're going to be tied to the tyranny of the now, the tyranny of what is hot now. So like last month, Amazon forest was burning down. So right now what's on people's minds is, boy, we need tree canopy, and that's got to be the city's priority. And boy, we need greenhouse gas emissions, and that's got to be the it's the now. And you're going to tie years and years of policymakers and staff reports to the tyranny of what is critical now, if all you're listening to is people's emotional reactions to what's politically happening right now.
Right.
And so forth. So
instead of the overall comprehensive, what's good for everyone going into the future. They talked about flying cars. So how many years ago? Is that their goal?
Let's put it in the comp plan.
Get us out of the transportation off the roads and into the flying cars.
We need hovercrafts across the Willamette.
Right. Let's start the hovercrafts.
It would make that as a top priority and goal and priority of the comprehensive plan. All right. We've got a guest coming in here. So let's take a break on Brent ranting about this for a while. But it's not the last you've heard of it, folks. And I hope, and we'll probably talk to the mayor about it on Tuesday.
Yes, definitely. Right.
So let's take a quick break again so we can come back and talk about yet another great thing and some great people here in Salem.
Huh? We need some good news.
This is Brent for Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Green Acres Landscape.
And welcome back to Newsmakers, folks. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne. Joining us in the studio today is one of our community's favorite people. How about that? How was that for a description? Tiffany Bulgin from the Ike Box is here. Tiffany, welcome to the studio.
Thank you. Yeah, it's good to be here.
We like to talk about people that do good things in the community. Mm-hmm. We like to talk about institutions and individuals that drive things that are to be celebrated in the community. So you guys are part of that, the Bulgins are.
Yeah, thank you. It's almost 20 years now. It's
wow.
Great. Yeah.
Holy cow. So if people haven't been in, let's say somebody's never been in the Ike Box, hasn't heard your story, they just moved here from Memphis. You know, how would you describe for them this is what the Ike Box is and its mission?
So the Ike Box is a social enterprise that serves the nonprofit Isaac's Room. And so is Isaac's, by the way. We have a new coffee shop downtown, too. So we have Isaac's and the Ike Box. But we provide opportunities for youth in our program to have mentoring and job skills. So in the Ike Box, not only are we serving great coffee and great food to our community, but we're doing that by helping the youth in our program get their first job most of the time.
That is pretty cool. I have some customer feedback for you. If you could provide for me when I go in there, those yummy things that are in the cabinet, could you make those calorie free?
Yeah, because they are. What you don't know, just, you know. Yeah,
amazing little sweets to go with my green tea. Got to do part healthy and part unhealthy.
We call it soul food around that place.
It's good for your soul.
Right, good for your soul. Every now and then you need to do that.
So the Ike Box is the component for the larger nonprofit, mm-hmm. right? And it does right. the job training and hopefully provides a little income for you
for
guys.
For Isaac's Room, right. And, Isaac's Room. You know, and also we've been a community living room for a lot of years. It's a beautiful ballroom. It's an old historic building, you know, used to be a funeral home. And we host probably 30 to 50 different community groups a week in our meeting rooms and meeting spaces. We also host parties and celebrations, and you can use that space. We've done a lot of school events, a lot of Willamette University events. So it's really been the location being downtown and close to the Capitol has really provided a lot of groups space to get done whatever they're trying to get done.
Neat. And so what kind of variety of spaces can people rent? We'll do a plug for you right here and now.
Oh, great. We have three different meeting rooms that can hold between, you know, 5 and 15 people that are media ready. And then we also have a room upstairs that can hold up to 50.
Wow.
And then we have the ballroom, which is a party space basically, and that can hold up to 150.
All right. Party space. I like that. Mm-hmm. Up to 150. Do I have 150 friends in this community?
You Let's do see not. If I can you be. Do not.
Oh, no. Dave, that's harsh.
I know.
Okay, so.
I know I don't.
And there was all this talk in the last, it's been a roller coaster in the last 6 or 9 months when with the YMCA project going on.
Yes.
Right? And you can keep the building. You just have to move it. And they're looking at moving and this raise a whole bunch of money and move the thing. And then everything kind of settled into, no, you don't have to move the building. We're going to sell it to you.
Yes. So, that was an interesting turn of events, and it's been a great year-long discussions with First Presbyterian Church and the Y and Isaac's Room. So the land that we were going to move the Ike Box to is First Presbyterian's land, and they have now decided to sell that land. At first, they were just going to lease it, and that was kind of the hinge. And when we and them decided it would be best for them to sell it, we asked if they might sell it to the Y, so that the YMCA could build their housing on that space, which is almost equal in size to our parcel that the Ike Box sits on. And then we could buy our building and land from the Y and stay put. And the Y and the church are graciously accepting that offer, and we're in the middle of figuring that out. So we have a price that the Y has given us for our building and land, and we are raising money currently.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah.
So we don't have to move, and we don't have to lose our basement or close for an extended period of time. But let me tell you, moving the Ike Box is going to be fun to watch at least. But we're pretty grateful that we don't have to do that.
Let's put some wheels on a cement building.
Right?
It seems impossible.
I thought logistically that would be a nightmare.
Yeah. Yeah. We were up for the challenge, as we always are with Isaac's Room. That's our big central theme, is facing challenges. So we were up for it, but we are pretty gracious that are pretty grateful that we're able to stay.
So it's an agreed upon price at this point.
It is an agreed upon price. Okay. Yes.
And you get to own the land, and no more questions about that.
Yeah. We'll own the land, and then they'll turn and buy the land from the church and build a veterans housing project actually on that land.
So for Isaac's, this is going to be a completely different kind of commitment, financial commitment, than leasing,
right.
the space and what your monthly rent was
right.
and so forth. Will there be operational cash flow challenges? Are you planning to try to raise enough money to make that monthly payment lower?
Yes.
Yes, all of that. Okay.
So the renovations that building needs, it's almost 100 years old. Our goal would be that we could raise all the money to purchase it. And then if we have to finance anything, that would be part of the renovations in the next year and a half. So the building needs new HVAC. It doesn't have any air conditioning and the windows and the doors and the roof. And, you know, we haven't owned it, so we haven't we have not put that kind of money into it. And any investor that would come purchase it to do anything else would probably spend about $600,000 in renovation. So we're hoping that we can raise the money to buy it and then finance some of the renovations later on.
We're talking to Tiffany Bulgin from Isaac's and the Ike Box about their building downtown and all the great work they do inside the building. So you have meeting space. You have the Ike Box coffee shop. It's a living room. I mean, I don't know if Dave's been in there, but you do walk in and there's furniture and there's places to hide in the corner, but there's also places to sit on a couch and people sit and chat of people of all shapes and sizes and ages and demographic. It's a very, very cool vibe.
Thank you. We have really enjoyed extending hospitality. That's another big part of our is teaching the youth that we work with about how to be a giver in the community. And so we do a lot of service learning, and so the audience that we've attracted there just because of the location with all the We've got the politics and the churches and the journalism and, you know, just all business has been a really great cross-section of just very, like you said, all demographics, all shapes and sizes. And we've really enjoyed it.
I think it's where you could go and you could just sit down and you can hear the exhale as you sit down with your coffee
I love that. That is, yeah. That's a huge goal of ours, actually, is to provide that kind of space.
That's the kind of vibe, yeah.
All right, let's talk about Isaac, shall we?
Yeah.
Over on Commercial Street, because, you know, you drove up here to KYKN, so we want to be able to plug you. I've been to Isaac's. Nice spot right there on Commercial, right downtown, down the street from a former office of mine. And, you know, I personally, don't be a hater, folks, but I steer away from Starbucks.
Yeah.
Right? I'm just not a Starbucks person. I'm not really a big chain person. So I'm like, well, what's in the community for me? Where can I go to a community place? And I gravitate to Isaac's.
Well, and we serve Sisters Coffee, which, you know, they're not a Salem roaster, but they're an amazing family business that is hugely supportive of us. And then just so you know, when we opened Isaac's, our program was needing more jobs. And we added a kitchen and a bakery there. And so we have behind the wall skills, you know, the baking and the kitchen line skills that our youth are now able to gain, as opposed to just the customer service front of line. So that was a huge add for us. We've doubled our payroll in the last year. 24 youth are getting paychecks, and a lot of them have doubled their hours from when we just had the Ike Box.
Wow.
So Isaac's also really has served the mission of Isaac's Room.
And how do these kids arrive at your doorstep, as it were?
We are connected to parole probation and foster families, and we make presentations at all the alternative high schools at the beginning of the year. So then just word of mouth from the kids that have gone through. We get a lot of brothers, sisters, and friends from kids that have gone through. So, yeah.
You want to share skills.
You want to share one of your favorite success stories? Someone who's been through and been at the Ike Box and moved on?
Yes. I won't use names, so I'll try to be careful. But we had a young lady that came to us on parole, and she was 17 and needed to pay $18,000 in restitution. And we have the first segment of our program is called Training Camp. And 1 weekend, she was struggling. I mean, just not sure she wanted to make the commitment, really. And so Mark, my husband, who's the executive director, had to sit down with her and said, listen, Here's your options, and, you know, kind of pushed her, and she not only ended up finished training camp, but became a real leader amongst her peers, and then got a job at the Ike Box. And today I can say she's paid off all of her restitution, and she now lives in the Ike House, which is another part of our offerings. We have a residential home that we offer a place to live, and she lives there, and she became a shift leader for us. So she hasn't moved on completely from Isaac's Room yet, but she's stayed and has continued to climb the ladder and is now a leader for us.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
That is really terrific. And, you know, all of us have bought something, be it a car or a house or something, on payments. And that feeling when you've made your last one, I imagine that must have been very satisfying for her to kind of get out from under there and have worked so hard for it.
And just when I said, the giver versus the taker, when a lot of the times we get kids that have been in assistance or even in the system, they're either being told what they shouldn't do or you know, they've been given a lot of help. They're like the person B. We try to make them the person A, where they're paying taxes, they're giving to the community, and making lots of payments to the restitution. So it's really cool.
Do you want to be that? Well, you're doing a great job. I got to tell you, when I am in, the people are so nice. And I don't know if you're like, well, we got to put this person in back because he's grumpy. But, you know, the people that serve, and I've been in Isaac's more often than Ike Box this year, but I was just like, wow, really great customer service, really friendly, good product. So, yeah, it's a good plug.
Well, if people want to help save the Ike Box, they can come buy coffee. That's the first thing they can do. Or they can go. We have a crowdfunding site. It's a CrowdRise, which is part of GoFundMe. But they could go to CrowdRise and search for Isaac's Room and find our site there.
All right, let's talk a little bit about that. We've got a few more minutes. So let's talk a little about that. What's the money need?
Right.
How far have you got to go?
Right.
And we make sure everybody knows where to go. So it's a crowdfunding mechanism, right?
It's called CrowdRise.
CrowdRise.
So it's a nonprofit segment of GoFundMe.
Okay.
So it's called CrowdRise. And if you just go to crowdrise.com and search Ike Box or Isaac's Room, you'll find our page. Okay. So the funding need, the price is $900,000. We are, with pledges and commitments, we are almost half, we're about halfway there so far.
So what's your timeline?
The timeline moves a little bit, but right now it's end of November, beginning of December, and that's all based on the WISE timeline. But right now we're looking at trying to be done beginning of December.
And should you, let's say you get to $700,000, do you have a banking institution or a lender that's going to lend you enough to complete the thing and continue your fundraising?
Yes, we are. We are in meetings right now, and we have a tremendous relationship with Pioneer Trust Bank, and they we're talking about that right now. What is the threshold that, you know, we could still make that loan? So it is, I mean, it is. It's very encouraging that what we're hearing from in our fundraising endeavors. And, you know, our goal is that this would be a community story. Obviously, we've had these, we've had some big donors that have leveraged. And right now we have a $50,000 match out there that we're trying to meet. And we're about halfway through. So, you know, we really want people to, even though it's a big number, to go to CrowdRise and give 20, 10, 15, 30, it all makes a difference. And I think because the Ike Box belongs to the community and it is a nonprofit, that it, I would love for it to be a community story of a lot of people giving what they can, as opposed to a few really large donations. But and we'll take
those,
them both.
Those large donations are also, you know, they have been asked a lot of.
A lot.
In this last 12 months or so. And we've talked about it here on Newsmakers, folks, when they're trying to build a brand new YMCA, a nonprofit, and move United Gospel Mission, and build a new amphitheater at Riverfront Park.
A new charter school.
And so on and so forth. There's a lot of asks of very important, very worthwhile projects, but very high-ticket projects as well. So there's a lot of that going on. I imagine they have a little bit of donor fatigue where people say, well, I can, but, you know, I've already given to the here, here, and here, and I'm tapped for 2019, and yet you have a deadline. So
we do have a deadline, but we're pretty optimistic, and, you know, the alternative is the Ike Box will be demolished, and so we're pretty hopeful that that won't happen and that people won't let that happen.
That is great.
So,
well, we won't let it happen.
That's right. We thank you.
We won't let it happen.
And it is actually so much easier when people band together.
It is.
You know,
absolutely.
It's so much easier if there's hundreds of people and doing a little bit amount.
Right? We have.
Thank you for having me.
Yes. Thank you for coming in, Tiffany. It was good to hear about the Ike Box. In the last minute, we need to give out more information about the City of Salem survey and where people can find it. We've had several callers call in and ask about it.
All right. The survey has to do with Our Salem. It is only lasting another week. I think they're going to close it down, maybe less. So if you can get to it by the end of this week, that would be great. It's called Our Salem.
The website is?
Cityofsalem.net. And then I think you can do / and then our-salem, or you can just actually, if you just Google Our Salem, Salem, Oregon, you're going to come up with it. Go take the survey. Check the other box. Say you want transportation infrastructure. Say you want water and sewer, and not just the limited amount of choices the consultants gave you.
Absolutely.
How about that? Tiffany Bulgin,
Sounds good. Thanks for
being here with us.
Thank you. Thanks for
all the great work that Isaac's Room happens in. Let's have you back, and we'll talk
all
about
right.
more about your program.
Sounds good.
Thanks for being here. This is Brent DeHart for Dave Morin on 1430 KYKN.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.